U.S. Air Force leadership gets a shakeup. Continental will cut capacity and jobs this fall. And Burt Rutan hands off the president's job at Scaled Composites. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, June 6th, 2008. According to reports by the Air Force Times and InsideDefense.com, U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates last week called for the immediate resignations of Air Force Chief of Staff General Michael Mosley and Air Force Secretary Michael Wynn. Among the reasons cited were public disagreements the two had with Gates over numbers of UAV deployments and Air Force turf wars with the Army and Navy over control of UAV programs. The Air Force was also embarrassed last year when it came to light the service had accidentally shipped nuclear weapons parts to Taiwan and flown across the U.S. with a B-52 carrying nuclear warheads. Mosley is the top uniformed officer with the U.S. Air Force. Wynn is the top civilian official. Both made their resignations official on Thursday. Among the reflections in his written statement, Mosley said, quote, "I take full responsibility for events which have hurt the Air Force's reputation or raised a question of every airman's commitment to our core values. I think the honorable thing to do is to step aside," unquote. Wynn, in his statement, wrote, quote, "Recent events convince me that it is now time for a new leader to take the stick and for me to move on," unquote. The White House says President Bush knew about the resignations but played no role in the decision. On the heels of big capacity reductions announced on Wednesday by United, Continental Airlines yesterday told employees to expect the elimination of 3,000 jobs and the grounding of 67 aircraft from its mainline fleet. CEO Larry Kellner and President Jeff Smisek said in their letter to employees, quote, "The airline industry is in a crisis. Its business model doesn't work with the current price of fuel and the existing level of capacity in the marketplace. We need to make changes in response," unquote. They added that recent fare hikes have not been sufficient to cover rising fuel costs and, quote, "As fares increase, fewer customers will fly. As fewer customers fly, we will need to reduce our capacity to match the reduced demand. As we reduce our capacity, we will need fewer employees to operate the airline," unquote. Continental hopes most of the layoffs will be accomplished through voluntary separation agreements. The 3,000 jobs cut will include a number of management positions, and both Kellner and Smisek have declined their salaries and any bonuses for the rest of 2008. Continental will begin reducing capacity in September after the summer travel season and says it will provide details on specific flights and destinations to be culled by the end of next week. Legendary aircraft designer and builder and Scaled Composites founder Burt Rutan has stepped down as president of the company, and Douglas Shane is the new president. Shane helped found Scaled in 1982, and since 1989 has been responsible for business development, contracts and proposals, and flight test operations. Rutan has been named Chief Technology Officer and Chairman Emeritus, a role that will let him focus on the company's creative and entrepreneurial strengths. Rutan adds, quote, "I am successfully recovering from about 8 months of significant heart health challenges, and with this move, look forward to many more years of fun here at Scaled," unquote. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed appeared Thursday before a Pentagon tribunal. He says he wants the death penalty. The Los Angeles Times reports the convinced mastermind of the 9/11 attacks was informed by Chief Military Judge Marine Colonel Ralph Coleman that he could face the death penalty if convicted, and replied, quote, "This is what I wish. I wanted to be a martyr for a long time," unquote. Mohammed, or KSM, as he's come to be known by those close to the case, is on trial with four co-defendants. He calls the proceeding an inquisition and has declined representation by Navy Captain Prescott Prince, saying Prince wears the uniform of his American enemies and has pledged allegiance to President Bush, quote, "who wages systemic war against the Islamic world," unquote. The American Civil Liberties Union has made civilian lawyers available to him, but Mohammed says he will represent himself, joking that his English is better than that of the translators assigned him. He also told the court he rejects the validity of U.S. law. Quote, "Evil laws are not the laws of God. Laws allowing same-sexual marriage. I consider all American laws under the Constitution to be evil," unquote. Mohammed appears nonchalant about what's happening. The Times reports that when shown a courtroom artist's sketch of him, He asked the artist to make his nose look more like his FBI picture. Coming up next, Sinoswearingen sells an 80% stake to a Dubai investment group. Hawaiian Airlines is adding planes and people. And NASA's Inspector General says the agency muzzled its own scientists on global warming. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 6th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Bhuti Saeed Al Ghandi, chairman of Emirates Investment and Development of Dubai, or Eminvest for short, announced on Wednesday his company obtained approval from the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States to acquire an 80% stake in Sinoswearingen Aircraft Corporation. The acquisition will enable SSAC to begin full-scale production of its SJ-30, which is billed by the company as the world's fastest, longest-range, and highest-flying light jet. The SJ-30 has a cruise speed of Mach 0.83, a range of 2,500 nautical miles, and an operating ceiling of 49,000 feet. The company's had a rocky history since its founding in 1997 as a partnership between the U.S. plane maker Swearingen Aircraft Company and the government of Taiwan. The Taiwanese tried and failed twice to divest themselves of their interest in the company. Sinoswearingen is headquartered at the San Antonio International Airport and currently employs over 550 staff at its facilities in San Antonio, Texas and Martinsburg, West Virginia. The company delivered its second customer aircraft during the NBAA convention in Atlanta last September. Eminvest was founded in 1997 and is best known as the master developer of the Dubai Lyon City project. Its acquisition of SSAC is its first aviation venture and its first investment in a U.S.-based company. While big legacy airlines announce capacity cuts on the mainland, Hawaiian Airlines says it plans to expand its inter-island fleet with the addition of four Boeing 717-200s. The company says it needs more seats in the wake of the shutdown of Aloha Airlines on April 1st. Two of the aircraft are expected to enter service in September, the other two in November and December. All were acquired on long-term leases from Boeing Capital Corporation and will increase Hawaiian's inter-island fleet of Boeing 717s to 15. Hawaiian currently operates a total of 150 inter-island flights daily among the islands of Oahu, Kauai, Maui, and Hawaii. Until the new 717s arrive, Hawaiian has expanded its inter-island flight schedule using a long-haul Boeing 767-300 widebody between Honolulu and Maui and flying a 717 that's usually held in reserve as a spare aircraft to cover scheduled flying in the event of a delay. The expansion also means more employees are needed. Hawaiian says it's already hired 230 people, most of them former Aloha employees, and has another 160 openings yet to fill for pilots, flight attendants, maintenance technicians, contract service, and line service personnel. The New York Times reports a 48-page report released Monday by NASA's Inspector General's office charges political appointees inside NASA's Public Affairs Office engaged in a pattern of distorting and suppressing information regarding climate change, and in at least one case, took steps to prevent the agency's top climate scientist from speaking with reporters about global warming. The New York Times broke the original story in early 2006. A group of 14 U.S. senators later asked the Inspector General to look into those claims. The report says in part, quote, "Our investigation found that during the fall of 2004 through early 2006, the NASA Headquarters Office of Public Affairs managed the topic of climate change in a manner that reduced, marginalized, or mischaracterized climate change science made available to the general public," unquote. The report adds that there was no evidence implicating high-level officials with NASA or within the Bush administration. NASA spokesman Michael Cabbage dismissed the report as old news. Quote, "After learning of those issues, NASA revised the agency's policy for disseminating science information," unquote. Up until now, concerns about the impact of very light jets on the air traffic control system were voiced mainly by executives at the airlines who were trying to get the FAA to impose user fees on small aircraft. Now, air traffic controllers are also speaking out. A recent report by USA Today says controllers in Florida are already taking steps to keep VLJs out of high-altitude airways during busy times. Controllers note the small jets fly at speeds at least 100 miles an hour slower than larger airliners and business jets and can't climb as fast. David Cook, who heads the National Air Traffic Controllers Association chapter at Jacksonville Center, says, quote, they don't mix very well, unquote. Stephen Wallace, speaking for NATCA at Miami Center, adds, controllers must keep VLJs out of airways when traffic is busy, unquote. It's no wonder this is happening first in Florida. Florida-based J-Jet operates a handful of Eclipse 500s on short runs through the southeastern U.S. Controllers, including Wallace and Cook, admit so far it's been easy to handle the flights, especially since most of its planes don't climb to the upper flight levels on short hops. But if predictions by NASA and the FAA come true, one day there could be thousands of VLJs, and that could pose a bigger issue. Captain Rory Kay, safety chairman for the Airline Pilots Association, says that an airliner cruising along the same airway behind a slower Eclipse 500 would be, quote, a bit like following a farm vehicle, unquote. No offense, Vern. Kay also notes the Eclipse 500 lacks even a basic traffic collision advisory system. Eclipse and DayJet both insist new technologies will make the system work. Still, with the FAA wanting to push off next gen until 2020, those new technologies could be a ways off. Still ahead, EAA announces this year's Bingelis Award winner. Emirates prepares to receive the first of its 58 Airbus A380s. And Phoenix is ready to get digging as soon as NASA can get its attention. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, June 6th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Bob Rockford of Overland, Missouri, has been selected as the 2008 recipient of the Experimental Aircraft Association's Tony Bingelis Award, recognizing his involvement as an active volunteer technical counselor and aircraft builder. EAA says Rockford has volunteered as a technical counselor for more than 12 years, providing thousands of hours of advice to builders and instruction in the St. Louis area. He's also the founder and current president of EAA Chapter 1394. Rockford has been building, repairing, and flying airplanes for more than 60 years, including antique airplane restorations. He's also an A&P mechanic and has supported the FAA General Aviation Aircraft Accident Prevention Program since it started in July of 1968. Rockford will be honored during the AirVenture Home Builders Dinner on Thursday, July 31st. The Tony Bingelis Award was created in 2002. It recognizes an individual's significant contributions of encouragement of home-built aircraft projects, the promotion of air safety, and maintaining the values of EAA. The award honors the memory of the late Tony Bingelis, noted home-building authority and EAA sport aviation columnist. Emirates, the largest customer for the A380 Super Jumbo, announced yesterday it will receive its first A380 from Airbus's Hamburg facility on July 28th. The 58 A380s that Emirates has on order are worth $18.8 billion U.S. dollars at current list prices. Emirates A380 interiors and onboard product, which have been kept under wraps so far, will also be revealed for the first time during the delivery ceremony in Hamburg. Emirates Chairman and CEO Sheikh Ahmed bin Said Al Maktoum calls the A380 one of the pillars of Emirates' future growth. Quote, "All through the ups and downs from the drawing board to production, we have remained unshakable in our belief that this is the aircraft for the next chapter of aviation," unquote. The airline plans to deploy its first A380 on routes from Dubai to New York, London Heathrow, and Sydney Auckland, and will shortly announce details. Emirates is scheduled to get five A380s through March of 2009, all featuring its ultra-long-haul configuration of 489 seats. That's 14 in first class, 76 in business, and 399 in economy, with 11 tons of cargo capacity. Two practice rounds of digging and dumping the clumpy soil in the Martian Arctic this week gave scientists and engineers gathered at the University of Arizona enough confidence to begin using Phoenix's robotic arm to deliver soil samples to instruments on the lander deck. There is a glitch, however. Following Wednesday's briefing on the mission, the Phoenix team learned that NASA's Odyssey orbiter, which relays Phoenix data to and from Earth, had entered a safe mode, preventing Wednesday's instructions from reaching the lander. Instead, Phoenix will continue with its last instruction set, taking images for a full-color 360-degree high-res panorama. Odyssey mission managers are doing a checkout of the orbiter to determine what triggered the safe mode. In the meantime, the Phoenix team will issue commands and receive data back through the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. And finally, it's tough to make progress in any organization when you suffer rapid turnover of help. A program aimed at convincing screeners to stay with the Transportation Security Administration is, well, apparently not working out. Over 21% of screeners quit their jobs in 2007, according to a new TSA report obtained by the Federal Times. TSA's new system tying screener pay to performance appears to have had little effect, dropping only a couple points off the 23.5% attrition rate recorded in 2005, before that program started. On Thursday, the National Treasury Employees Union called on Congress to investigate, quote, "It is alarming that such a critical workforce is in a constant state of flux," unquote. If you think pay might be the reason, well, then you might be surprised. These are not the low-end jobs they once were in the private sector. Now that screeners are federal employees, they start at $30,000 a year. And advanced positions, such as bomb screening, pay $56,700 a year, plus bonuses of up to $5,300 more. And that's not even counting perks like all the free shampoo and nail clippers you can carry. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Karen Kahn, a veteran airline captain, flight instructor, and author. We'll talk about her book of advice for anyone interested in a professional flying career. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.